Welcome to Spiritual Night. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Welcome to Spiritual Night. All right. You know, there were a group of professional people who took a survey of 4 to 8 years old, and they posed this question to them. What is love? Well, the answers were a lot broader and a lot deeper than what we might think. And I'm going to see what you think about this. When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, though he has arthritis in his hands too. Rebecca, age 8. When someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You just know that your name is safe in their mouth. Billy, age 4. Love is when you go out to eat and you give somebody all of your French fries and you don't expect to get any back. Chrissy, age 6. Love is what makes you smile when you're tired. Terry, age 4. Love is when my mommy makes coffee for my daddy and then she tastes it before she gives it to him to make sure it's all right. Love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening presents and just listen. Wow. Bobby, age 7. If you want to learn how to love better, start with someone you hate. Nika, age 6. Love is when your puppy licks you all over your face, even when you've left him home alone all day long. And the winner, the final one, is a 4-year-old child whose next-door neighbor, who was an elderly gentleman, had just lost his wife. And upon seeing the man cry, the little boy climbed over the fence and jumped into the gentleman's lap and just sat there. And when his mother asked him what he said to the little neighbor, the little boy said, "Nothing. I just helped him cry." Wow. What is love? Well, you know, there was a rich one young ruler who came to Jesus, and he asked him, "What is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. This is the first and greatest commandment." But what I found interesting about this, Jesus didn't end with one answer. He knew there was more to it. So he continued and he said, "And the second one is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." And that's found in Matthew 22:37 and 38. We're going to be using a lot of scripture because we're talking about love, and what we want to do at Spiritual Night is give you the reality of what real love is all about. So, love. You know, I am a Taekwondo Grandmaster. My title is the highest ranking American female in the world. I've been practicing Taekwondo now 52 years. And I know a little bit about self-defense, and I know a little bit about the fighting arts and about the history. The interesting thing is that the characteristic of a true martial artist is peace. Where does that peace come from? Well, this may surprise you, but that peace comes from love. See, the ancient martial arts warriors, they were called Subak warriors. Their job was to protect the kingdom or to protect the area in which they lived. They were actually bred for warfare. They were giants of the day. They worked out. I mean, their bodies were rock hard. Even though they were warriors, their job was not to fight. Their job was to maintain peace. And if it included fighting to maintain the peace, that's when they stepped out and began the warrior process. But all of that took place because of love. See, they had a love for their community. They had a love for their family. They had a love for their leadership. They had love for the people. You see, mankind was not created to fight. Animals are. You take a little cute little baby raccoon and you go watch it as it's climbing up and down into the trash can and you go out and try to grab a hold of it and you better put your guard up because it's got claws, it's going to stick out and it's going to start scratching you and biting you. It's a natural defensive reaction for an animal to fight. People have to learn how to defend themselves because we weren't wired to fight. We were created to love. Love is not just a luxury for human beings. Love is a requirement in order to be able to have peace and to have happiness. And that's why this conference is called Phenomenal Love. Because if you truly want to be successful in life, you have to understand the value of love, how it works in your life, what the enemies of love are, and how to give it away. And so we're going to go over some of these concepts here in these next few minutes. I'm going the wrong way, aren't I? Okay. There we go. So what is love? Well, there's four Greek words for love. The first one is philia, which is friendship. That's what we have here today. The second one is storge, which is affection, like with your family or someone that you're very close to. The third one is eros, which is not in the Bible, but the concept is in the Bible. In Song of Solomon, for example, it's in there because the word eros, that's the root word for erotic for us. And in the first century, the word became perverted and people were using it in the wrong way, so it was not included in the scriptures, but the concept is because this word is truly the sexual, intimate relationship between a husband and wife. Oh, you talk about that with God? Well, yeah, that's what he created it for. Your sexual desires were created for you to share with your spouse. It's a God thing. And then there's what we call the Bible love, which is agape love. Say agape. Agape love. All right, this is God's perfect, unconditional love. Unconditional love. It's a new kind of love. It's a love that focuses on what is best for the receiver rather than for the giver. It's a love that doesn't expect anything in return. And God demonstrated this agape love when he sent his son Jesus Christ to come into this world and to be that way for us to have a relationship back with him. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave He gave his only begotten son. Can you imagine giving up your only son for someone else? And not only did he give up his only son to come into this world, his son was the part of the whole plan that was going to give us a way to have relationship with him. But there was still no guarantee that we would accept that sacrifice. See, that's the ultimate of giving without, I'm not going to say expecting, but without demanding anything in return. See, we have a choice on whether or not we're going to receive love. But here's the other thing that we have to remember. We cannot give away something we don't have. So if we don't receive God's love, then we're limiting our ability to love others. Because when you run out of your own love, what are you going to do? Well, we know, don't we? We get angry. We get bitter. We get disappointed. We get discouraged. We get depressed, and there's a whole cycle that takes place because when we run out of what we have, there are no reserves left in there unless we tap into this agape love that we're learning about today. So, here it goes. So, agape, go ahead and say this with me, okay? Agape, God's kind of love that actively pursues the best for another person. That's pretty cool, isn't it? So here's the summary of this. An unselfish commitment to give without expecting anything in return. A strong, tender, compassionate devotion to the well-being of somebody else. You know, marriage is the second relationship that we see in the Bible. The first one is the relationship between God and mankind. And then the second one is when God created Eve to be the helpmate to Adam. He instituted marriage as the first human relationship between a man and a woman. And then Jesus, when he came to this earth, his first miracle was performed at a wedding. You see, marriage is holy in the sight of God. And in order to have a solid marriage, it's important that we understand that we are to incorporate all three of these definitions into the marriage relationships. We're friends with each other. We really like each other. Hello? Right? It's a friendship. You know, Rick is my best friend now. I'm his best friend. He tells me things. He says, I've never told anybody else this in my whole life, but I feel like I can say anything to you because, and here's what he told me, and I'll never forget this, I know I can trust you with it. But see, love demands trust. Because once trust is broken, it's very, very difficult to get that back. One thing I can tell you for sure, because I've experienced myself, is you can trust God. His love will never, ever, ever fail you. All about love. I'm going to run through this pretty quickly because we have quite a bit to cover. But this is out of 1 Corinthians 13, which is known as the love chapter in the Bible. And I want you to read with me this first section of what love is. Okay, ready? Let's go. Love is patient, kind, generous, humble, courteous, unselfish, good-tempered, righteous, and sincere. That's quite an inventory, isn't it? Here's what love does. I think. There we go. All right. Go ahead, let's do it together. Ready? Love endures all things, bears all things, believes the best, hopes all things, rejoices in truth, rejoices in righteousness. It gives, protects, and trusts. It never fails, does not think evil of others. That's what love does. But here's what love does not. I'll read these for you. Okay. Love is not puffed up. It's not full of pride. The middle letter in pride is I. It's all about me. But that's not agape love, is it? Agape love is about others. Love is not jealous. When I'm secure in myself, I don't have to be jealous over someone else. Love is not boastful. It's not arrogant, rude, selfish, resentful, or touchy. Ooh, that one hurts a little bit, doesn't it? I don't know what's going on here. I'm not moving. Okay. All right, say this with me like you mean it, okay? Ready? Love never fails. Say it again. Love never fails. One more time. Love never fails. That's an important thing to remember, because when difficult times come, you have to remember that it doesn't matter what it looks like. Love never fails. Say it one more time. Love never fails. Okay, it's not moving again. Here we go. So the scripture that we talked about earlier starts with this. Love God. That's the first step. Say, love God. Love God. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. In other words, that's every single part of our being. You know, it's interesting to me, there's another scripture, and it says that that the Lord is searching for true worshipers. God is searching for people who truly love him. When I first read that, I remember I sat back and I paused, and my heart broke. And I said, Lord, why is it hard for you to find people who are true worshipers? Okay. And I determined right from there, at that point when I read that, you don't have to look beyond me. I choose and I make that commitment to you to be a true worshiper, to place you first in everything that I do. And then here's how I prayed. And I'm going to teach you a little bit about scriptural prayer here in just a minute, too. I said, Lord, when I fail, I give you permission to nudge me, to correct me, to tap me on the shoulder. If you need to, push me. But I don't want to be the one that you look over and say, where is someone who worships me? I want to know that I'm true to the commitment that I've made to you today. See, scripture is personal. And when we read it, if we just read it like a book, we're really missing out on what the whole purpose is. Because it says the gospel is hid to those who don't know the Lord. So when we do know the Lord, we have inside information because we receive the revelation of what the Word of God says through our spirit by the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Okay, next. God is love. Say that. God is love. No, not just God is. He really is. Okay, so let's try it again. Ready? God is love. It's not just that he loves, or it's not just that he loves you, or it's not just that he has love. That's who he is. I mean, he's the actual source of it. And I'll tell you, when you get that revelation, everything changes. Because now we go to the source. The source is God. It's not drugs. It's not entertainment. It's not all of the other things that people go looking for until they discover God. When we discover God, we realize that he is God. He is love. He is the source. And that you can't have something, you can't give away something that you don't have. So if you don't have him, you can't give away that kind of love. Okay, next one. Next it says to love your neighbor as yourself. That's a very, very important part of this whole thing. Because what is love if you can't give it away? Really, that's a good thing to be thinking about. What is it if you can't give it away? Love your neighbor. And so genuine love comes from the heart that's overflowing with affection from God. When we give out love that way, that frees us to just be able to love people unconditionally the same way that God loves us. And as we yield ourselves to him, he teaches us to love his way. And you know what happens? We begin to see people through his eyes, not ours. How many times, and this is natural, so don't feel bad when you do it. How many times do you look at somebody and say, oh, well, that's no wonder. Look at their life. I mean, you know, we have all of these negative excuses we give for that's just the way they are. No. My question is, I'm sorry, Lord. How do you see them? How do you want me to see them? And how can I make a difference to help you accomplish your will in their life? See, love is giving. And sometimes it's not always in the things that we give. It's by what we do, by yielding to what the Holy Spirit is teaching us. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, what happens is we get a new nature. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says that if any man is in Christ, he becomes a new creature. How many of you needed to be a new creature? There were some people that were real creatures, right? But it says that you are a new creature, a new creation. Then it says, old things are passed away. And then it says, behold, all things become new. What happens is there's a change that takes place in our spirit. We see things different. We hear things different. You know, all of a sudden, the conversations that you were able to listen to before hurt your ears. You go, oh, I can't believe they're saying that. Not just bad words, but how about gossip? Or how about bad talk about somebody else? See, our ears are hearing changes because now we're hearing by the Holy Spirit. Now that lives in all of those five senses begin to change, but that's a process. It's a process of transformation that comes from spending time with God. Howard talks about the time capsule. That's so important if you really want to have Christian growth and if you want to develop this agape love that we're talking about. Spending time in God's Word, it says, you know, the Word of God carries life with it. And the way that we think is what? The way we become, right? So we can control the input, and as we allow ourselves to be filled with what the Word of God says, then it carries a life of its own to begin to change us from the inside so that this new agape love that we're operating in continues to grow at a higher and higher level. So love flows out of us as an overflow of love for Him. So the key point here is found in John 13:34. Go ahead and say this with me. I give you a new command. Love one another just as I have loved you. Now, the key point here is love is not an option for someone who loves God. It's a requirement. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, but there's some people in my life that I just don't think I can love. They've hurt me. There's just some people that are just unlovable. Well, yes, in your own self, that's true. But remember what we talked about on agape love. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to write this down. If you like tattoos, put one of these on your arm or your wherever. Okay? God will never ask you to do something He does not equip you to do. If He says, love others, you have the ability to do that with Him. You may not have the ability to do it on your own, but you do with Him. Next. You determine whether to love or not. You always have a choice. Now, this next slide here, I want you to look at it. You can go ahead and change it, Christian. I give you a new command, love one another just as I have loved you. The way that I pray scripture now, the most effective way to pray is to pray scripturally, and one of those ways is to pray the word back to the Lord. So I'll take this scripture, and here's an example I put together for you. I give you a new command, love one another just as I have loved you. So what I did, I took that and I said, the first thing that stood out to me is God loves me. Right? You see that? So I start off with praise in my prayer. Father, thank you for loving me. So see, I'm going to take that back to Him. And then He tells me to love one another the same way He's loved me. But you know what? Sometimes that's hard. So I'm going to pray that to Him too. Teach me to love others in the same way that you love me. And then we're also told that when you pray, pray in the name of Jesus. And so then I end in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen means so be it. It's sealed. It's done. That's it. So that's how I take scripture and pray it over myself or for others. Christian, next. There are enemies of love too. Okay, next. And we're not going to go over these today, but they're going to be in the second edition of the love book coming out. So next, Christian. But we are going to focus today on just one of them, which is strife. Okay, next. Here is the contrast between strife and peace. Now, you'll know if you're in strife when you start experiencing this uneasiness that begins to take place when you're around a person or when someone mentions their name or when you see their picture. That's a signal that strife is trying to creep in, because strife looks to cause division, but peace looks to bring unity. Strife brings what? Confusion. But peace brings stability. Strife brings insecurities, but peace brings security. Strife brings restlessness. Oh, have you ever been in strife with someone and you just can't sleep at night? It just keeps going over and over and over in your mind? Yeah, I see heads shaking. That's strife, see? We don't have to live that way. But peace brings rest. Okay, next. Strife has many dangers, but the one serious consequence to walking in strife is that it will hinder your prayers. Because when you walk in strife, you open the door to unforgiveness. And Jesus said, if you don't forgive, I don't forgive you either. As a matter of fact, it says he doesn't even have to hear your prayers if you're living in bitterness and unforgiveness. That's a dangerous place to be. So don't allow strife to even have a foothold in your thought life. Next, Christian. Say this out loud. The devil hates agreement between believers. And in a marriage, that's one of the greatest benefits that we have. We can grab a hold of the hands of our husband or our wife, and we can come in agreement in prayer. Next. Here's something to do. If you find yourself in strife, make a commitment, first of all, to keep strife out of your home. Your home is a sacred ground for God to be able to work through. What good does it do for you if you are the most likable, lovable person at work or on the job or with your employees or with your vendors or with people that's in relationship will come and go, and then when you go home, you're a totally different person and nobody even wants to be around you? I mean, isn't the person that you would want to make most comfortable with the best gifts and the best parts of who you are, your family, your spouse, your children? Yeah, I see heads nodding, but many times, you know, we go, oh, I can't wait to get home. No, I don't want to do it. Just leave me alone. I am stressed. Well, you don't have to be stressed. Give it up to the Lord. It says he gives you peace. You are a carrier of peace when you have him. You choose whether or not you allow that to operate or you choose to go the other way and operate in strife and discord. It's a choice. Learn to live a lifestyle of agreement, especially with your spouse. If you say or do something that has caused a problem, be quick to ask forgiveness. That's so important. And you may say, well, I don't have to. She knows me, or he knows me. That's not the issue. See, what happens is you're releasing that. You're reminding yourself that you operated in strife or the seeds of strife, and you're not going to go back there anymore. What it is, it's part of that trust commitment of what you made to the Lord to keep that strife out of your home. And that will empower you to walk in peace and be quick to repent. Okay, next. Here's the scripture. Where there is envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. So here's a sample prayer I put together with that. Let's go ahead and read it with me, okay? Father, I love you and desire to live by your values. I do know an envy and strife in me. I give you permission to warn me, to show me, and convict me when I'm headed that direction. I desire your wisdom to operate in my life. Thank you, Lord, for guiding me in my thoughts, my words, and my actions. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's how we take scripture. Remember I said earlier, scriptural is personalized. It's there for you to be able to receive and act on. And remember, love, what? Never fails. Love never fails. And right behind that, this is an important concept. Go ahead. God will never fail you. That is one of the most foundational truths that you can get, because when you go through the fire, you know that you can go through the fire because God will not fail you. So love your neighbor. Go ahead. Next. As yourself. Remember that you are God's creation. Next. In Psalm, David cried out to the Lord and he said, I will praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. See, he recognized that he had a purpose in life and that God thought enough of him to create him as a unique individual and a unique human being. And in Jeremiah 29:11, this is one of my favorite scriptures, it says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope. How many of you could use hope at times? All of us could, right? Plans to give you hope and a future. So when we take this scripture, we can break that down too. So here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. Take scripture and personalize it. Ask the Lord, how does this relate to me, Lord? What should I be asking for based on what I learned today in reading your word? And so here's one that I put together for myself. Okay, you can read it with me. Make this your prayer. Father, I thank you for providing for me in every situation. Help me to hear your voice as you guide me to prosper. Thank you for giving me hope and a future. I desire to know and implement what you have planned for me. I give you permission to nudge me, guide me in my thoughts and decisions. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, next. God loves you. And I'm going to wrap it up with this. FTI is centered around procrastination, a lack of urgency. The problem is there's no guarantee of tomorrow. And I'm sure if I were to go around this room, you could have lots of examples of that. My nephew at 37 years old was sick, went to the hospital, he had COVID, he never came out. Tore the whole family apart. He's in heaven now. A friend of ours, he's actually one of our yard men, Dylan, young man in his 20s. Had just come to a friend's house with an engagement ring to give to his girlfriend. On the way to propose, a car hit him, and he died instantly. I could go on and on with stories, and I'm sure you can too, but, you know, there's an urgency to do what's right for you. What's right for you is to develop that relationship with God that he wants with you so that as you receive from him the agape love, the unconditional love where he accepts you just as you are, he gives you more than you could ever imagine or think. What I found with most people are very good givers, but they're very hard receivers. But see, today I want you to put that aside and say, yes, I'm ready to receive. I want to know how to love unconditionally. I want to be empowered to do that. And the way to do that is to surrender yourself to the Lord. I'll be here the whole weekend. If you want to talk to me, I can help you through that. It's very simple. But love never fails, and God will never fail you. Will you say that with me? Love never fails, and God will never fail you. Next one. The question is, will you invite him to take the position of Lord of your life and receive his agape love? the choice is yours. And maybe you do know him and you received his love, but you don't do a whole lot with it. Hopefully this teaching today will give you some more tools to be able to take what God has provided for you and to grow and develop as a person of love to help others. So remember, love never fails. Thank you.